Well, we are officially today 82% through our Bible reading. If you are going through 2015 and 2015, or if you're following any kind of reading plan, you are 61 days away, so basically it's 82% of the way through. And just out of curiosity, this week I was beginning to prepare my message. I'd felt led that this was a passage for us to look at, and as I did, just out of curiosity, wanted to see kind of where we've been, because the way the series has unfolded has been that as we read through, I'm ahead of you about 2 weeks, and I'm just prayerfully reading and asking God to kind of lead and direct me in my thoughts and what I feel like Central Assembly needs for that given week. And interesting enough, there have been 34 messages to today, and 17 of them are from the Old Testament and 17 of them from the New Testament. And I didn't plan that at all, but how many of you know we need to be equitable and fair with God's Word, right? 4 messages from Psalms, 3 from Proverbs, 10 messages from the Old Testament writers, the prophecy books, historical books. Then in the New Testament, 8 from the Gospels, 3 from Acts, and 7 from the letter of the apostles. And so now I have a goal that I want to keep at 50. I'm just kidding. We're just going to go with what we feel week to week. But this past Thursday, you would have read this little book, one of the most beautiful books. It's just a single little chapter. We're going to read it all the way through because it's so short here in just a moment. But what makes Philemon such a beautiful book of the Bible is the heart in which it comes from. And you hear Paul's heart in a way that is very personal. It's very unique to any of the other books. Most of them all, of course, written to churches. And not that the church didn't read this, not that it wasn't used for the church, but this is really a book with two people in focus, two of Paul's friends, and two people that are about as far on the spectrum of life away from each other than they could possibly be. Let's just introduce the characters for you quickly. Many of you are familiar with them well. Philemon, first of all, is a wealthy man who lives in the city of Colossae, where Paul wrote the book of Colossians to. Most believe that probably he came into faith in Christ while Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years. Ephesus was about 100 miles away from Colossae, and so most likely during that time frame, this man, a wealthy man, came to know Christ under Paul's ministry there. Then the other character is Onesimus, and Onesimus is a slave who has run away from Philemon, and he's gone to the city of Rome, where the majority were slaves, and so obviously a large city where he thought he could hide out. So we have Paul in Rome, most likely, in prison there. We have a man named Philemon who Paul loves, and he loves Paul, 1,200 miles away there in Colossae from Rome. And then unbeknownst to Philemon here, we have the runaway slave who has fled from him, gone to Rome, 1,200 miles to hide out, get lost in the crowd, and of all things, he has come to faith in Christ. And beyond that, the great apostle Paul has become his mentor, if you will, spiritually, and like a spiritual father to him. And quite honestly, that is often the way that God works. That is what is just so mind-blowing sometimes, I think, for all of us who serve God and you're faithful to Him over the course of your lifetime. You get to have those fun moments when God connects some dots along the way and you realize that God is at work all the way through, and He's working through your life and others' lives, and it all just kind of comes together. Just this week is a great illustration. Steve Kirstein and I met for about an hour or so, and we're talking about his missions work and projects. And he told me of recently being in Tanzania, East Africa, the language there being Swahili, which he does not speak. And he said that he had gone for a 2-day evangelism seminar, and one of the practices is they will teach for about 2 or 3 hours, and then they will go out into the streets. And so they were doing that, and he took with him a translator, who, by the way, is named Stephen as well. So Steve took Steve, and they went out to the streets there in the city in Tanzania. And as they went out, he said he spotted a 20-year-old or so young lady. And he started to go toward her, and when he did, he said her eyes kind of grew kind of big. And he said he felt like he was making her a little bit uncomfortable. And so he pulled back a little bit and said to the translator, "Why don't you kind of lead the way?" And so the translator went ahead and began to speak to the woman, introduced Steve to her, etc. And then Steve began to speak and wanted to go into what they were being trained to share. And at that moment, the girl broke in and said something. The translator had a big smile on his face, and he turned to Steve. This is just a few months ago. Turned to Steve and said, "Steve, she said last night she had a vision that a white man would come to her and give her the good news, and she needed to listen to it." And she received Jesus Christ into her heart. And as Steve said it to me, he said, Jeff, I still get goosebumps right now when I think about how incredible it is that God works. I was at a table recently in a home, someone here at Central, and there were a few of us together, a few couples, and they were talking missions, and we were talking things both old and past regarding the great work around the world, and a name came up, and immediately that name was, it just generated an energy and an interest about everybody around the table that knew this individual and all, and I was just sitting there just kind of amazed because I met this man over 30 years ago when I went to Phoenix from CBC here. And within a month or so, I was seated at his table, and his son became my roommate. I was single in those days, and so we lived together, Dell and I, for about a year and a half or so, and it was just an incredible relationship. Dell was in our wedding, his son was in our wedding, and I was at both of their funerals later as he passed away and his wife passed away. But they had made such a major mark in missions. And here I am talking to these people 30 years later, realizing the incredible mark they made in my life and in our early years of our marriage. And that's just the way that God works. He interweaves lives in a phenomenal, incredible way. And that's what we have here. Paul was seeking, in essence, to use leverage of the relationship that he had with Philemon and in a way of bringing a reconciliation here of two people that were separated, think of it, by 1,200 miles, and in that day, about 1,900 plus years ago. So as we read it now, I want you to picture Philemon, who for the first time, this is being unrolled, and he is reading this for the very first time. It had to be jaw-dropping for him. Verse number one, follow along if you will, and keep your Bibles open. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy is with him, our brother, writing to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all his saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, there's a great introduction, and you hear Paul's heart in there. There is an affection here between him and Philemon, and he's not trying to butter Philemon up in any way. Bottom line is Philemon is opening his home there in Colossae. There is a church meeting in the home. He is sharing his faith. He is refreshing people spiritually. So he is a wonderful man, and Paul obviously would be very dear to his heart, and he's expressing that, and then Philemon, of course, would reciprocate that relationship. But then comes immediately the big ask here, verse number 8, as we look. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet, verse 9, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Pause for just a moment. Paul says there, I could command you to do what I'm about to ask you to do, but instead, I appeal for love's sake that you would do what I'm asking you to do. You know, a lot of times we do things out of a compulsion. Matter of fact, when Paul talked about giving, we talk about next Sunday as one day offering. You know, you don't have to give next Sunday, but those of us that choose to give, we will be the ones with the blessing. And we'll be the ones out of no compulsion. We're not going to cut you at the door today and twist your arms, but we'd like to hand you a sticker. We'd like you to put it on your lapel or on your shirt someday this week and have people ask you, what is that all about? And you say, you know what? I'm giving this day. I'm working all day today, not for myself or my family. I want to be a blessing. That is what God wants us to do when we give, doesn't he? Matter of fact, Paul said that God loves a cheerful giver, not one under compulsion, but a cheerful giver. In this instance, we're not talking finances, though in one sense we are, but we're talking here relationship. And Paul would appeal that Philemon, rather than being forced to do what he's asking him to do, would you do this instead out of love? And then Paul kind of turns the screws a little bit with the next few verses. I, Paul, an old man. How many of you know that you older men can get us every time, huh? He says, I'm an old man, and now I'm a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. So Paul's starting to kind of heap it on a little bit. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Now, parenthetically, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord. For this perhaps is why he has parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. How many know Paul knew how to receive an offering? That's an incredible letter, isn't it? And then comes a conclusion. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greeting to you, and so do Mark and Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, how many of you wish every book of the Bible was that short? And every book of the Bible was that easy to understand? I mean, can't we just right now say amen and go home? It's powerful, isn't it? This little letter. And I'm so glad that God included it in the canon of Scripture. Relationships are a big deal in the kingdom of God. They're never easy. They're never easier. We would live in a perpetual utopia and perpetual unity and always just feel one with one another, but we know that's never the case. That things are complicated in relationships because we are complicated people. Because when it comes to relationships, you always have not only the good and the strengths and the blessing of a person's life, but you also have the weaknesses and the failings, and all of us share in that. That's why every single one of us here, when it comes to our family, every one of us here has family history. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, we have things that probably we don't want anybody to know about our families. No matter how good the family might be, there's still things there because we're human, because we're marked. Might be a church, might be a small group, it can be any setting. Really, it just takes two relationships. And the beauty of this letter is the heart of Paul over two men. And remember, Paul wasn't perfect in his relationships. Remember, he and Barnabas, they just took off. These are our first missionaries, the first ever in the history of Christianity. And what did they do? They have a falling out early in their ministry over a young man, John Mark, who left them. And so Barnabas went after John Mark to bring encouragement. And Paul says, let him go, and I'm moving on. And they literally parted ways. Paul confronted Peter. They had a major rub. As a matter of fact, I love the way that Peter puts it there. They were in Antioch, where the church had kind of relocated from Jerusalem to be centered from Antioch. And in Antioch, Paul writes it this way to the Galatians. When Peter came there, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. How many know you don't want to argue with Paul, all right? But it's a relational issue there. Yet in this letter, Paul has one objective in mind, and that is to reunite a slave to his master. Many have said this letter has probably done more good from a biblical standpoint of racial reconciliation than in slavery, the ending of slavery in many parts of the world, than any other little book in Scripture especially. So three things I want us to look at that I believe we can learn from Paul as he is writing this letter. The first thing is to believe and change lives, that we need to believe and change lives. Isn't that really at the heart of this letter? It's the power of the cross, the power of the gospel. A slave here who has now become a changed man. Philemon might have an issue with that. The first moment that he would have seen the word Onesimus, just the name itself, who knows what that evoked within him, because we really don't know exactly what had happened here. But Paul is banking on one simple reality today, and that's this, that Jesus Christ changes lives. He believes that this man is different. And isn't that really at the heart of everything that Paul did? Really, isn't that at the heart of all of Paul's letters? If anything, it's at the heart of the entire New Testament scriptures. It's the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth. It's a reason that we hope for as the people of God today, that Jesus changes us and that he's in the changing business of anyone who believes in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know it well. If any man is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Actually, when I was reading this a couple weeks ago and came to this, which would have been Thursday for you this past week, we were reading in Titus, because Titus comes right before Philemon. So reading through 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, all of a sudden as I'm reading, it was like the Holy Spirit just kind of alerted me. Look at that pattern of Paul as he writes there, Titus 3:3. Look to the screen, if you will. Here's what he writes. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved in all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Verse 4, here it comes. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. That's the gospel. And you say, well, I it sounds like Paul. It is, over and over again. This is what Paul wrote in so many of his letters. We too were foolish, he writes to Titus. We used to be slaves of sin, Romans 6. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, Ephesians 2. You used to walk in these ways, Colossians 3. And that is what some of you were, 1 Corinthians 6. Of himself, Paul wrote, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners. Every single one of these passages, you have Titus and Romans and Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy. Every single one of those passages have the proverbial but. This is what you were, but Jesus came into your life. This is what you were, but you were saved and bought by the blood of Jesus. This is what you were, but now God has come in and he saved you and redeemed you and changed you from the inside out. How many of you know the gospel that we hold to today is a gospel that says no matter who the person is, what the circumstances, halfway around the world, aren't you thankful that God has reached that woman on the video today? And the opportunity is this, that God wants to change lives. He wants to set us free of our chains of sin and liberate us. And if we take pause this morning, really just to stop and consider just for a moment the purpose we have and the hope we have as a church, it has to be rooted in the simple reality that we are all about seeing people's lives changed. Not the way that we want them to be, not the way that we might order things to be, but the way God wants them to be. And could there be any other reason for us to meet other than we believe Jesus has changed us, and we believe Jesus can change anyone here that desires to see God work in their lives, and we want to leave here and see Springfield and surrounding communities and the entire world through missions come to a saving, changing knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the first thing we see here. That's what Paul's banking on, is that God changes lives. The second thing is to adjust our view when it comes to relationships. And this is really a simple little point, but it's such a short little letter here, 25 verses. And only once does Paul use the name Onesimus. And when he does it in such a way, well, I think no matter what, probably Philemon would have evoked some kind of emotion within him, no matter how Paul would have put it. But Paul calls him my child Onesimus. Now, this is news to Philemon. Many translate that my son, though it mainly means a child. But some say he's saying to Philemon, Philemon, this is my son that I'm writing to you about. A couple weeks ago when my parents were here, they spent about 6 weeks in the area between here and Kansas City with my sister, and we had a wonderful time. And one afternoon, we had a 60th anniversary for them and invited some of their friends. They have a lot of friends in the Springfield area. And there was someone who had come late. And I walked out and I met them at their door. And one of the ladies is in her mid-90s, I believe 96, almost 97. And so I immediately called to her sister so-and-so. Well, I was just raised that way. That's how we do it. And she kind of chuckled and she said, I haven't had too many people call me sister in a long time. I look out here, Elnora, you in your spot, there you are, okay, perfect, wave your hand, there she is. And I look at her today, and I see Sister Gregory. I just can't call her Elnora. I don't know. It doesn't come out of my tongue. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, it just seems disrespectful. So she's Sister Gregory to me. Now, we don't use those terms like we used to. Everybody was brother and sister. How many remember those days? You know, now it's kind of like, hey, you know, around the church. I'm just kidding. But when it comes to Elnora, when it comes to many of you, that's what happens to come out of my mouth. That is not just a respect thing or even a church cliche. That actually is a very biblical ideal that we've kind of let go of, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. But here's how Paul wrote it to Timothy, and he was explaining to Timothy how to be a pastor. He said, Timothy, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as you would your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now, Timothy's a young man, so we note there, especially that little tag important that he writes there, Timothy, when, as it relates, some of you are like fathers, some of you are like mothers, some of you are like brothers, and some of you are like sisters. Now, I mean, that just might change the way we date and court at Evangel University. Could I hear a big amen this morning? And the way we view relationships in the body of Christ, right? But every woman, every young lady here today, matter of fact, parents, it's how we should teach our children early in their upbringing as we look to all generations around a church setting or any setting for that matter to respect them. But when it comes to the body of Christ, that woman is your mother. That woman is your sister. And when it comes to ladies here today, as to when you turn from a sister to a mother, you let us know that. We're not going to determine that this morning. If you get my point, could I hear an amen today? But guys, and we meet tonight, and I'm excited because I get to give the teaching tonight, but we meet tonight in the chapel. You know, we've got all ages. We've got three generations, I'd say, in there, and we've got then dads, and we've got sons in the faith, brothers in Christ wanting to serve God as men. We're having a great time on these Sunday nights. Paul introduces this runaway slave as his son. This is my child. What on earth is Philemon supposed to do with that? And Paul makes his appeal then based on relationship, which in turn brings a major shift in relationship, not only for Paul of what he has with Onesimus, but also now with Philemon. And again, we really don't know what Onesimus had done. We don't know he had ripped off Philemon in some way. We don't know in the tangible way how this affected the heart of Philemon. We don't know any of the details. All we know is the relationship, according to Paul, is forever altered. And I want you to see again how Paul words it. Verse 12. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Verse 13, I'd have loved to have kept him with me. He could be beneficial to me, but I also know he could be beneficial to you. Verse 15, for this perhaps is why he left you for a little while, so that now he can be back with you forever. But then note verse 16, if a period would be there, Philemon may say, I don't want him back forever. But look at what he says in verse 16. No longer as a bondservant, but rather than just a bondservant, he can come back to you as your beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, Philemon, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In other words, Philemon as a man, as a slave, as a bondservant, who then had been purchased as a man, he comes back to you, Philemon, but also he comes back to you in the Lord. He comes back to you out of spiritual relationship in the body of Christ. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Well, you might as well put a fork in it. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's over. From slave to brother. Say that with me today. From slave to brother. Say it again. From slave to brother. To brother. Doesn't it have a beautiful sound to it? That's what Paul's dealing with here. One of my favorite hymns, probably yours at Christmas time, Oh Holy Night. Stars are brightly shining, this is the night, the day that our Savior is born. Beautiful. Verse 3, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. When was that written? 1847. 14 years later, Abraham Lincoln has his hands full with the Civil War. So we understand then the context of what's being written then. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His gospel is peace. His way is to see oppression be broken, chains be broken. The slave becomes our brother. That in Christ and in that hour and that day, if only America, think of the hundreds of thousands of lives, the worst war we've ever fought, could have been spared if this truth would have lived in the hearts. And amazing enough, in the Union and the Confederates, there were followers of Jesus on both sides. Isn't that crazy? But he was quoting here, the hymn writer had it perfect. He was really writing Philemon in a beautiful hymn. May we sing that in a few weeks and enjoy it together. Maybe that's why Onesimus was away from you for a while, Philemon. But now that he would come back to you, as some translations, for good. The word translated forever, the word literally in the Greek means eternal. He left you as a temporal slave. He comes back to you now as a brother in Christ. And guess what? I believe that Paul's kind of playing with that language a little bit. I believe he's pointing out to him, it's much more than him just serve you for the remainder of his life or whatever their relationship would be. It goes from now all the way to eternity. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am stuck with you for a long time. Go ahead this morning. Why are you laughing so hard? Won't heaven be fun, huh? Won't heaven be fun? See, we learn from Paul to believe in changed lives and to adjust our view of relationships. And third, to reconcile the debt of grace. And this is just beautiful. Paul realized the shock probably that this scenario would bring to Philemon. Only God could arrange something so crazy. Paul and Onesimus are in Rome. And there sits this man in Colossae, 1,200 miles. They say in that day there were over 1 million people in Rome, and most of them were slaves. So you have most of them, and that's the way the Roman Empire was. But in that hour, in Rome, over 50% were slaves. So you have a man sneaking about trying to keep himself from being noticed, ends up becoming a follower of Jesus, paths cross, and he ends up really becoming close to the great apostle Paul. So Paul presses a little further, verse 18. If he's wronged you at all, he owes you anything, charge it to my account. How many of you know if Paul says that, those are good words? I'm sure he'll back that up. But then verse 19, he adds, I Paul, write this with my own hand as I'm in this prison. So he's really making it even more personal. Then he presses a little bit more to say nothing of you owing me, even your own self, Philemon. So this man owes you, but I just want to remind you, you kind of owe me a little something, Paul says. And here's where some of you may say, I don't really like Paul sometimes. And a lot of women maybe don't like Paul sometimes in things that he wrote. But Paul is saying here, you know what, when we get down to it, he owes you and you owe me, and really we all owe God, is what he's saying. Yes, brother, verse 20, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Same word he used, Greek word, verse 7, he uses again here, verse 20. You refresh others, now refresh me. Seriously, Paul? Pay the whole debt? Yep, I'll pay it. But now that I've mentioned I'll pay it, how much do you owe me? Paul says. And beyond that, how much do we owe God? See, Paul has in this the whole spiritual beauty. And you could take offense to this, but realize, Paul is acknowledging there is an earthly debt here. There is something that a man owes another man. There is a relational situation here, but at the same token, he brings a spiritual in, and he's seeing it all through eternal eyes, spiritual eyes, that changes everything. The whole paradigm is shifted on Philemon. From owing to receiving grace. From unforgiveness to reconciliation. From slavery to being a brother in Christ. Everything changed the day that Onesimus said, Jesus, would you come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins? Everything changed. Relationships changed the day that Onesimus said, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins and come into my life? Something that Philemon, I'm sure, wasn't ready for. But as that scroll was unrolled and they began to read that letter, I'm sure his eyes popped out when he's reading from the great apostle Paul and in Paul's own handwriting. And to think Paul is saying, now he's become my very son. I give you my heart as I write to you. And then the debt changed forever when Onesimus gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Because to Philemon, who had owed a debt far, far greater, than this slave ever owed him. Philemon had to realize, and that's what Paul's driving at, that's what Paul is basing this on, is that through my ministry, through my investment into that part of the world, Philemon, you came to know Christ, and you know what God did for you? He forgave you a debt so great, Philemon. I'm just asking you to take a dribble. I'm just asking you to take a little bit of the ocean of God's love and to extend that to this slave that has sinned against you. Would you forgive him? Would you take him back? Would you refresh my spirit by receiving him? And let there be restitution and reconciliation between your two lives. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what love is all about? Isn't that what grace is about today? It's when we just take a portion of what God's given us and we give it to others. Now, in a physical, carnal sense, that's what we're saying about next week and one day. And churches all over America do this with Convoy of Hope. What a great thing. You know, all year long, we're blessed. All year long, God gives to us. As Pastor Mike mentioned earlier, thanking God for the jobs that we have and the roles that we have. All year long, God meets our needs. And we're saying, take one out of those days that you work in an entire year and just give it to bless the poor. We can all do that. I encourage you. It'll feel like a sacrifice, but oh, think of the poor. Think of those that don't have anything like what we have. But let me ask you today, as we close, who is your Onesimus? Who's your Onesimus? Who owes you? Who has taken advantage of you? Who has maybe done something to you that it's really hard for you to think about in any way extending grace to them when you consider what they've done to you? Second question, what does God want you to do then? If you're Philemon and you're holding that letter, and you know what? The truth is you are holding the letter. You're holding the letter from God today, and he's speaking to every one of us about our relationships and what we do to forgive those that maybe owe us in light of how great God has been to forgive us our debt. What does God want you to do? It might be today, maybe tomorrow, maybe throughout this week. At some point, there's a place. And you may say, yes, but he, she, doesn't matter. When you come to look at it in the ocean of God's love and grace, then for you to extend forgiveness, you to extend a reconciliation to that person. That's what God wants you to do today. The slave is our brother. The slave is your brother today. Receive him back. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes this morning? And no one looking about, just for a moment, would you just take stock of your own heart? As I developed this recently, this message, I was stirred. I really haven't looked at Philemon in a long time. I don't know when the last time might have been I've spoken from this book. But I was stirred at Paul's passion for these two men. And I thought how stirred we should be and a passion we should have for the reconciliation of others in the body of Christ, even outside the body of Christ, but especially in, because we're brothers and we're sisters and we're mothers and we're fathers to one another today. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts right now, Lord. Speak to us, God. Speak to us, Lord, of how relationships matter to you, Lord, and how you change lives. And that's what we have to bank on and believe in and hope for and celebrate in one another and in the world around us, God. Help us to be a part of seeing Springfield changed by only your power, but Lord, as vessels used of you. And help us, Lord, to realize the great debt that we owe you, Lord, that in turn we have to extend and release others. We have to let chains drop because of your grace, Lord. Thank you for teaching us through this simple little letter the great truths of your gospel, of your message, Lord. With heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, just quickly I want to ask, is there anyone here that you say, Jeff, I realize that I have a debt before God. I have sinned, and I need to ask God to forgive me, and I need to rely upon Jesus, and I need to embrace that gospel, the good news that changed Onesimus, same thing 1,900 years later. It'll change your life as it's changed our lives, people around you today. Is there anyone here, you say, this is a day that I need to ask God into my life to forgive me of my sins? You know, the Bible says we're all in slavery to sin until we come to Christ. So if that's you this morning, would you put up your hand right now? Anyone, just put up your hand. You say, Jeff, that's me. I see that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? You put up a hand and say, I want to ask God to forgive me of my sins, to break the chains off of me today, to become his son, his daughter today. Anyone else, you put up a hand this morning. Anyone this morning. Give you just a moment. Anyone today, you put up that hand. Say, I want to receive Christ into my heart. For God to change my life, my heart. Anyone? Give you a moment. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. How many of you here say, Jeff, I've got an Onesimus in my life. There's someone back there somewhere that I need to extend forgiveness and grace to. And I'm struggling with that, but I need to. Let me see your hand this morning. How many of us? How many of us today see those hands? There are many. There are many of us. Any unforgiveness in this room? Would you lift your hand right now? Any bitterness in this room? Anything that's seated there? Again, there's someone in your past. There's someone you need to release. Say, yeah, but they owe me. Let's think about what God has given us. We owe him everything. I see those hands. You can just put them down after you've raised them. Let's pray now together. Would you pray with me? I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. Would you pray with me? These words, let's just say it out loud together. Oh God, I know that I've sinned. I hear your word. I may not have all the answers, but I believe in Jesus, that he is your son, that he died on the cross to carry my sins and the sins of others that are committed against me. God, I want to be free. Please forgive me now. Cleanse me. Change me from the inside out. I open my heart to Jesus. May he live within me. From this day forward, I receive your forgiveness. And help me, God, to extend that forgiveness to others. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, just before we close here, would you just take a moment, if you would, just to imagine that magnitude of God's grace in your life and now what is owed to others. And if there's anyone in your life that you need to release, you need to let the chains go. We don't want any slavery as we walk out of these doors, but that we are free and we are letting others be free. The slave becomes our brother. He who owes me becomes my brother today. And we let it go and we let God take care of that. God, thank you for Philemon. What a precious book. May we celebrate it, live it, breathe it, Lord, in days, hours, days, weeks to come. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen this morning. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning for a first time, or maybe it's a recommitment of your life to the Lord this morning, but you mean it with all of your heart. Right in front of you are a little stack of the different cards there. One of them is red. There's a banner right across that's red, and I'd encourage you to take that. If you would, it's perforated. You can fill that out, and our connect counter is right through these doors, right over here on the lower level here in the lobby. And if you would take that to them and to tear it off, there's a portion there for you in scripture read, etc. If you don't have a Bible, again, take that Bible, read through those verses to get this week out of that scripture, and we just would encourage you to let us know that today was a day that God did a great work in your life. Thank you so much.